It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
I'll tell you, Brian, you know what would be the tree fort from heck?
What?
If you bought your tree fort at IKEA. Build a tree fort in your yard, yeah. But you buy the tree fort at IKEA.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to build it.
Yeah.
In the tree.
Yeah.
And you have parts left over.
Yeah. I'm with you now. When's the last time you bought something from IKEA?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I've heard the horror stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever bought something from IKEA?
I want to say right after college, somewhere in there, like, you know. So there was a point in my life that I went there. I know my dad used to go there because one of the IKEAs in Vegas would serve breakfast.
There's more than one?
I don't know. But, okay, the IKEA in Vegas.
Yeah,
215. Yeah, you would go there. They would serve breakfast. You would get like a $3 breakfast.
Really?
Or something like that.
That sounds better than a Costco breakfast or
and
a Costco hot dog, right?
And so, yeah, I was like, you went to IKEA for what?
Joe from Havasu to Vegas.
No, he lived in Vegas.
Oh, I see. Take the 215 over to the IKEA, which is up a town and country, I believe. And yeah, wow. That's quite the adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So what's going on?
I was trying to think of the piece of furniture that you would buy that's like classic IKEA furniture that's a futon. Like
futon frame.
Like a futon frame. Right. Yeah, you wouldn't build the futon itself. The futon itself is the cushion, right?
The mattress. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. We're going to the mattresses today.
Okay.
You ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's a Godfather term.
Gonna go to the mattress.
Guys always know what that is, but the ladies, not so much. Anyway, welcome to the show. We're digressing here. Sound Advice.
You are.
I definitely am. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg on this Thursday, February 26th, 2026. And we're going to have another special show tomorrow for Friday, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's not becoming special anymore.
Oh, it's too repetitive.
Mojave College
is common.
Is coming in. It'll be James Jarman and guests. I'm hoping for Jenna Louder, who is our Dean of Students here locally.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
That would be cool. Plus, she's a product of the Lake Havasu Unified School District.
Fantastic.
Right.
Local.
Let's see. Do we have a U of A game? Not tonight. We have
tomorrow. Suns
host the Lakers. Oh, I know. The schedule they have to
Kansas,
go through, right? Got to play Kansas, but they're at home.
Yeah.
So and then
payback.
On Monday, it's Iowa State.
Another tough game.
And I think they play Houston again at home.
I don't know about that. I think it's Kansas, then Iowa State, and then
Madness.
We're kind of through, yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind of
through. Because March is coming.
Yeah,
actually, a lot of people before they lost, were calling it the U of A tournament.
Oh, God.
What a jinx, right?
Oh, don't put that on us.
I'm just saying.
We're
that's
just
what
doing
they were,
what we can.
And then they were calling it the Michigan tournament. Now they're whoever beat Michigan, right, was Duke. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Duke looks pretty tough all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
But they didn't look tough in, you know, the first 10 games. But anyway, I talk like a big college basketball fan at my alma mater's UNLV. So we're like 15-14 right now. It's awful.
Okay, it's above 50. It's you're batting above 50%,
baby. I can't even remember who we just lost to, but it was like, really? Lost to them?
Parker Broncos.
Could have been.
The Bronx took you out.
Could have been.
Go Bronx.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah. So, the funny you should ask, currently the market, NASDAQ down quite a bit, currently down 1.34% or 310 points. The Dow pretty much perfectly even, and the S&P 500 down 0.66. And the reason, how is the Dow basically flat? And the NASDAQ down a little more, and the NASDAQ down pretty seriously, and the S&P 500 down somewhere in between. It's because the S&P 500 has a bigger percentage of some of the tech stocks that the NASDAQ has, and the Dow really doesn't. And that's why there's a little bit of a divergence there in terms of what we are seeing. Globally, we're seeing markets international fluctuating a little bit, but still up so far, up 0.37% in the European index, and the Japanese Nikkei up about 0.29. And those trends have kind of continued. If you remember, I was telling everybody that last year international markets, European markets ended up 27%, the S&P 500 here at home up 17%. Well, year to date, the U.S. market, S&P 500 up not quite 1%, right around 1%. European index up 9.22. So they have continued to kind of flourish and do well after the U.S. market vastly outpacing the developed international markets on the whole for many, many years prior to this. So at least for now, that worm has kind of turned. Other news happening. Unemployment really hasn't changed. It was interesting. New unemployment claims had a slight uptick, yet renewing unemployment claims, meaning people who had filed and are they going to continue to file, had a little bit of a downtick. So what does all that mean? It just means that we're still in this bizarre employment economy where nobody's really hiring, but nobody's really firing net of every result. So it's kind of a stagnant time, so to speak, relative to employment in jobs. And everybody is watching, though, of course, with bated breath, really what direction the market's going to continue to go. There is some improving news after a long time of really not having any movement. Interest rates on mortgages are finally starting to fall below 6% on average for a 30-year mortgage. And so, you know, it takes time, and eventually things change, and we're finally seeing that little bit of give. And so once that starts happening, then hopefully you'll start seeing some, if you're a seller at least, you'll start seeing more buyers come to the market because the interest rates will make it attractive. The question is, if you're a buyer, does that mean that sellers are going to be more stubborn with their pricing in terms of coming down on deals and negotiating, or are prices going to actually start going up again? So that remains to be seen relative to supply and demand and with the changes that we're seeing with interest rates. Other stories moving the markets now, NVIDIA. You know, it's one of those things where, remember, I always try to remind you, sometimes up is down, down is up. So NVIDIA, the biggest artificial intelligence company in the world, reported earnings that beat expectations and laid out forecast earnings that were very positive. And the market has rewarded that with a major, pretty precipitous downturn as a result of that. And so there's a little bit of an interest, like, how is that happening? Because, of course, that would make no sense. After yesterday, NVIDIA and tech stocks leading it higher, there's some other concerns just kind of went back into the mix. And sometimes I wonder, am I getting a little bit too much into the minutia? Because I don't want all the listeners just to be focused into, you know, paralysis, because all we're talking about is what happens this day to the next day.
Analysis, and I don't want paralysis.
Want you confusing that with, well, what should I do? Well, I'm not going to do anything because I don't know what's happening. And Brian keeps talking about this and that and the other. And I read on my Yahoo feed and my social media feed, and I'm watching news. And that's not, for most people, how you really should be focusing on what you should be doing.
You remind me of a story that came across the Arizona News audio page that, we're partners with. So you had the Supreme Court decision on Friday about tariffs,
yeah,
right? Last Friday, mm-hmm, not even 6 days ago.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, there's this reaction to the market story from one of the reporters, and it's an 800-point decline in the stock market on Monday, and there's this big story about it, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of funny. Let's see where this rabbit hole leads. It led to 300 points up the next day. You know?
Well, but the story had nothing to do with
that. But you had this big story about how the market dropped 800 points. Okay, so the Dow dropped.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Big deal. What was the difference? 500 in 2 days? I mean, what is it today?
Well, that's...
Is there a lasting impact from the Supreme Court tariffs decision?
Well,
that's my point.
That's the point that I was making, is that sometimes,
yes,
the minutia. Now, that's a little bit of a different animal, isn't it? Like, that's a I wonder what all that means.
Mm-hmm.
But here's why the market rallied, and then it kind of just took some profit back. But the reason why the market rallied is that part of what has been causing inflation and maybe eating into some corporations' profit margins has been
tariffs.
Mm-hmm. And so that was greeted with enthusiasm that, oh, tariffs are going, so maybe that's not going to be as big an impediment to the economy as we were thinking, and therefore corporate profits, and therefore stock prices, et cetera. Now, where we're at is the really uncomfortable realization of how this is going to play out in the courts. And here's where I'm going with that. So FedEx was kind of the first company to say,
we want our money back.
Yeah, yeah. We want our money back, mm-hmm, Trump administration, so file the lawsuit. Now, you and I are sitting back, and I think we talked about this last week a little bit, didn't we? Where we were, I don't remember, I've talked about it so many times, but,
yeah.
But the conversation that I've been having is, okay, well, good for FedEx, but guess who paid those tariffs? Me and you.
Mm-hmm.
That's who paid it. In other words, you know, there's all different quotes on percentages and how that was passed along. As high as 90% of the brunt of tariff cost was just an extra tax passed along to the American consumer. And so when you say, oh, look at all this money that the administration raised, well, yeah, from you. And then FedEx and all these corporations are going to sue the federal government and the Trump administration to get your money back.
To them.
Give you back your money.
Right.
That came out in the tariffs.
Good point.
And I'm like, oh, my God. So I was actually talking this over with my brother the other day, who's an attorney, and he's said, I've actually been reading some legal interpretations on that. He goes, I don't think it's going to fly. He goes, there is definitely, you know, hopefully some legal precedent in there where these corporations are not going to be successful doing that, because if they get that money, so what they'd be doing basically is taking money from the citizens of the United States and adding that to their corporate profits, which might be great for their stock prices if you're an investor, I guess, but in the real scheme of how we all want the world to work and what's fair is fair, that certainly doesn't hunt. as far as I'm concerned. So I'm a little concerned and curious where all that's going to go. Now, obviously, without that being priced in, the stock market's doing okay. Like I said, year to date, the U.S. stock market's up maybe 1% or so. So it's not really been a huge negative thing for 2026. It certainly hasn't been a big positive either. But in other words, it's not causing undue harm. That's not what the market's focused on right now, is tariff reparations, etc. I'm just more from the outrage perspective of, you've got to be kidding me that this
is not your money.
Not your money. Yeah. And now, as a response to the Supreme Court striking this down, President Trump, you know, basically had a temper tantrum, for lack of a better description, and put a 15% global tariff, or threatened it, for everybody everywhere.
That hasn't negotiated.
That, well, three or four, which he can only do for 3 or 4 months, I forget which.
It's 120 days, I think.
Without congressional approval. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so what does that mean, man? That there's just going to be more cost to the American consumer that corporations are definitely going to pass on now, because it's all going to be struck down as illegal eventually anyway. All that happened is that was just a commitment for higher cost for certain things for the next 4 months to American citizens to build up these coffers on our backs, mind you. I don't understand it. I get that maybe we got some things out of the tariff fight with some negotiations and better trade deals. Arguable how much, but maybe some. But separate from that is the actual tariff money itself. So I just don't know how it's going to bear out. But I can tell you, I personally don't like the idea of large corporate America basically just being able to go after our taxpayers from the federal, or what we paid in tariffs to the, you know, from the federal government. But hopefully that legally is not what's going to happen. Then the next question is, well, do we get any of it back? Well, no. Okay. Well, what are you going to do with it? I've got some opinions, you know, maybe starting with the deficit.
Weren't the tariffs across the board, did I read somewhere, during the Obama administration and the Biden administration, weren't they 10% across the board anyway?
So it, depending on, no, it wasn't completely across the board, but it was definitely specific industries. I know, like, the Biden industry right before that was, I think there was some steel that was done.
When you get off a cruise ship, you're paying what? What is that called? Duty? That's a tariff, right? When you go to Mexico and you pay for something and it falls under duty.
Yeah, but that's a much different animal.
Okay.
You know, vacation tax, you know, whatever, right?
Well, you have duty free and then you pay duty.
You're factoring that into your vacation. That's a different animal than what it takes to live month to month.
I got you.
Just by buying groceries and stuff to kind of move forward. So we'll see where it all ends, but I certainly have my preferences where it does.
Okay.
So but look at that. I just talked myself out of getting into some very specifics just about investing.
And nice.
Or into generalizations. But we should have... Is this it?
Particle Kid.
Which tune is this?
This is off of Live at the Hollywood Bowl, Willie Nelson 90, Live at the Hollywood Bowl, and it's Willie's other kid.
So, just so you know, so Willie's son, Lucas Nelson, really big fan, I enjoy his music, it's what we call alt-country, and then there's an even younger kid called, and he goes by Particle Kid, is kind of his music handle.
Right.
Love his stuff. And so this is a little bit, this is like a kind of a weird find that you got going here. Check this guy out. Alternates between really mellow kind of singer-songwriter country stuff, if you like that. But also just kind of gets into some what I would just call straight alternative music, and all over the map. Undeniably, there's two things happening there. One, genetically, Willie Nelson is a superior being when it comes to passing on music DNA.
Right.
Two is, because it's Willie Nelson's kid, it sounds like, if you listen to the songs, the production value is so good.
Right.
Because, of course, you're Willie Nelson's kid, so you have the best producer, music producers in the business. So it's like, wow, noticeably great. And those two things lend to some great music. So if you're a Willie Nelson fan, give his kids a chance, because they are not living just off of their old man's, coattails.
Right.
They are talented in
their own royalties.
Right. Yeah.
It's J. Micah Nelson is his name.
Yeah.
And he's described by Rolling Stone as a trippy troubadour and a musical, I've never heard this term before, polymath.
Yeah. All over the map.
A musical polymath who combines an indie DIY aesthetic with a questing hippie spirit and a relentless work ethic. That's it.
Pretty much word for word what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just kidding.
You should write for Rolling Stone.
Well, I could. There you go. I was just trying to give a generic introduction, not something maybe that, sold magazines.
Little Particle Kid here on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. And believe it or not, on this date, 1955... You had 45s outsold 78s for the first time ever. And now everything outsells 78s.
Yeah. Half the listeners are 78 what?
Everything was put out on 45s. You had all that music from, not Nashville, but Memphis.
Yeah,
all
Memphis.
All the music from Memphis that came out, and with Elvis and Jerry Lee and all the rest, and Buddy Holly. And, that's where that came from. So, anyway, give us a call if you have a question for Brian, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Had a listener called the office earlier today and asked about yesterday's show, and I said, well, yeah, that's on the fourth Wednesday of the month. Every month is the school district.
Oh, okay.
We do that every month. So we do this on Thursdays.
Here
so
we are.
It's kind of a theme, folks, if you listen to Speak Out for a long time. But I gave her the number, 928-854-5687. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This one's recorded at the Hollywood Bowl in April of 2023. We'll be right back. The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3, 5, and 7 FM, and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned that you're in. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit or protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in SEER are independent of Osaic Wealth.
Just memories, the good times. Just memories now. Just memories.
All right, welcome back to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Of course, Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag, sponsor of the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane. AB Propane, AZ.com. I always thought they should do something like, this is an A&B conversation and you should see your way out of it. Or have you ever heard that one, Brian?
I have not.
Anyway, wanted to talk about, you suggested this in the break.
Yeah.
When somebody passes away, and there's a beneficiary involved there. My question is, with life insurance, do they contact your beneficiary? I wouldn't think so. That's a business that kind of wants to hang on to, that $50,000, $500,000 in life insurance. Why would they? But so what are the ramifications here?
Yeah, well, they don't know somebody's passed away. There's only one way that they find out somebody's passed away, and that's because either the agent who wrote the policy or a family member beneficiary of that person reaches out to the insurance company to let them know. So, you know, they don't hold on to it once that's a point, but yeah, they don't know until they know.
What's the turnaround on something like that?
Pretty quick, actually, because, you know, that's when on, and everything's a little different. Specifically,
there's expenses involved.
No expenses at all.
No, I mean expenses with when somebody dies. There's funeral expenses there.
For sure.
You might want to. You might be the person that's paying off, you know, creditor accounts.
100%. Yeah. No. You're definitely right on that, and that's why a full financial plan would account for that. In other words, do you have liquid assets for whatever reason, including immediately after somebody passes away, you know, if you're overly concentrated in just hard assets and real estate and there's no liquidity, it can be a problem when you need to come up with money to pay off different debts or creditors when someone passes away, and then you're forced into having to sell something, and nobody wants to be in a position of having to sell something relative to getting the best price they can. But with life insurance claims, there's a claim form and there is a death certificate required. So the holdup is going to be how long it takes to get the death certificate. And once that is received, that plus, you know, the claim form, you know, which is you filling out and proving you who you are with as the beneficiary or one of the beneficiaries of a life insurance policy for that money to come in. And once that's received by the insurance company, it typically happens fairly quick. In other words, it might be a working week or so, maybe two at the most, before that is processed. And you'll have choices of how you want to receive that money. Sometimes you can actually receive a checkbook. And then, you know, let's say it's $100,000. You can just write checks against that $100,000 and they keep it in a low interest bearing money market account. Or you might, you know, or you can elect to have that a check sent to you or the money electronically deposited into your checking account. And typically that's what people will do. And then once received, then they can use that money to pay off certain debts or to invest into a portfolio for growth for their future or for current income or whatever their goals are, and find the right investment product and strategy that does that. But it's a fairly straightforward process, and the vast majority of life insurance proceeds are not taxable. So they come in tax-free. There are the only circumstances where sometimes they are taxable is when a corporation buys the life insurance, a company buys the life insurance, and then takes a tax deduction on the premium. That is an instance where that could make the life insurance proceeds themselves taxable. So you do want to be a little careful about how you do it and pay for it or account for the tax deductibility if you're somebody who has a buy-sell agreement or life insurance agreement amongst business partners or that kind of a thing if your corporation's involved. When it comes to investment accounts, it usually, I would say, takes a little bit longer. 2 to 3 weeks maybe for that transition. Same thing, death certificate. And then you'll typically have to create an, either, you know, you can request the money or if you want to create an account to receive it. I just had an instance this morning, where I had a client pass away. And so, the two beneficiaries called this morning to talk about what their options were. And it was an IRA account. And the rules are, if you are a non-spousal IRA, so anybody other than the wife or husband, then you can just receive all the money at once, which is typically a very bad idea because 100% of that money is taxable as income to you.
Sure.
If it was a pre-tax, you know, traditional IRA. If it's a Roth IRA, different animal. Typically you'll have no taxes due. But in the pre-tax traditional IRA, which may have been a 401k or is a 401k, those assets are just included in your taxable income. So if somebody's making 60 grand a year and they inherit a $100,000 IRA, you just made, for tax purposes, $160,000, meaning your $60,000 goes up in bracket as well. So What most people do is they spread that out over time, and you have 10 years by law now to take all of that money out of that inherited IRA, and you create your own inherited IRA account, which could be an investment brokerage account, or you could just, you know, stick it in a CD, or you can put it in all different things as long as it is an inherited IRA, and avoid taxes until you start pulling that money out each year. And you do have to take a small amount, a required distribution each year over that 10-year period. Hmm. But all of it must be gone within 10 years
to
avoid a penalty.
No matter what your age is, as the person who inherits, really.
Right, unless you're a spouse.
And there's no rollover like a 401k when you
roll. Oh, it is a rollover.
There is a rollover.
It's a rollover from your deceased, let's say, parents' IRA into your inherited IRA, no taxes. But then, as you take income out of that inherited IRA over that 10 years, you can take it all out any time. Mm-hmm. You just have to take a minimal amount each year over 10 years. That amount you take out is included in your taxable income.
Is that minimal amount a set amount, or is it a percentage of?
It's actually a percent. It's neither.
Oh, great.
It's a calculation.
Oh, I see.
And so, you know, they'll take a, you know, it's the life expectancy number of the person inheriting the IRA, the dollar amount, the balance of the account as of December 31st every year, and a little bit of a formula kicks in, and then that number. It's not a huge number. Usually, you know, 4 or 5%. Let's say in that first year. So if it's a, you know, let's say it's $100,000, maybe you get you're forced to take out $5,000. Again, you can take anything out you want, but why a lot of people leave it in, if especially if they don't need the money, is because one, you spread the taxes out over time, and two, the more money you leave invested, you're leveraging that. So if you get a modest return, let's say you even just average 5%. Something super modest over 10 years, and you're taking out money, you actually are you know, taking out over 10 years $50,000, and in the last year you might still have that same $100,000 to take out. And no, you don't want to eat the tax, but okay, you just turned 100 into 150,000 in our example. And if you make more than that, average double digits, as the market has done over time, not guaranteed, but has, then you might be able to have $150,000 on the $100,000, and you've taken $50,000 as a potential hypothetical example. So just different ways of approaching that. And that's how that particular kind of investment account could work. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about other investment accounts and how they work for taxes when it's not in a retirement plan like an IRA or 401k.
All right, perfect. A little more Particle Kid. Of course, this is the younger son of Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
I know someone in town who's as old as Willie, or pretty close, and you wouldn't even guess in a million years who it is.
Oh, you know, this is interesting. It's funny. So, this is a Depeche Mode song.
Is it? So, Never Let Me Down Again?
Yeah. So this is, so if you are somebody who, you know, basically was a big 80s music fan and you're listening, you'll recognize this Depeche Mode tune probably, and this is his mellow, cover of it.
Nice. All right. Back with more in a moment. And you're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, 928-854-5687. I've got the text line sitting here too, but no text. You haven't generated any.
Come on, people.
That's because you're interesting to listen to, man. They're too busy to call. They're absorbing information.
I'm 100% sure that's what it is.
Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Taking a ride with my best friend. One, two, three, two.
as My Sweet Demise. So it's got somebody tasty. Listed. Somebody listed here named Sunny War.
Yeah, yeah. Some female singer that he works with.
Uplifted?
Don't know.
Gotcha. Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. Also, Springberg Wealth Management. Love those guys. By The Chair, Laughlin Ranch. By Mojave College, who will be here tomorrow. James Jarman is bringing us a special guest. I was hoping for a Final Four soccer coach, right?
Mm.
But he's out recruiting.
Oh.
We can't find him. Camilo Valencia, call the show if you hear us right now. All right, also samsguns.com, solar power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. I'm told samsguns.com, I believe it's officially Shooter's Outpost now.
Really?
Yeah, it's been purchased and renamed.
Shooter's Outpost.
Yeah, very close to you guys, right?
Where's that?
The store.
I don't know.
Sam's Guns Doc. Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sam's Shooter's Emporium.
Well, yeah, top of McCulloch.
It's now, I believe, it's official, Shooter's Outpost. So I'll have to change that in my notes. And don't forget, shop local, spend local, eat local, play local, and use a local certified financial planner when planning your investment portfolio.
Mm.
Ooh, I'm getting to sound like I've done the show before.
Yeah, once or twice. So we were talking about different
Thrice.
Investment accounts. What happens if somebody just has a regular investment account? Let's say that you know somebody just has a portfolio and it's not part of a retirement account like an IRA or an annuity or 401k or anything. That account, typically for a spouses just take it over, no taxes. But even for non-spousals, beneficiary, you get a step up in basis, meaning you only pay taxes on the amount, if any, that the account goes up from the date of death of the person who originally owned it. So if your father passes and it was worth $100,000 and he put $50,000 in it and you get it and it's worth $100,000, you don't pay taxes on the $50,000, profit he made for you. If it was worth $100,000, you get it, it's worth $110,000. Well, then you're going to pay capital gains on that $10,000 differential, regardless and independent of how much he put into the plan. So that comes into play when, again, I'm doing a financial plan for somebody, and they're talking about what assets they want for income or for themselves and what assets they want to pass on, how to title them, and how to think these things through. That comes into play because, of course, one of my tasks, one of my financial responsibilities is to keep it as tax efficient as possible. How do we legally keep Uncle Sam's paws off of your family's money when you inherit it? And so there are different things that you have to know to make sure you're taking advantage of different types of investment accounts. When it comes to other accounts, typically doesn't come into play very often. Let's just say like a savings account. Well, everybody just pays taxes on the interest, even on CDs that aren't a retirement account, whether you touch the money or not. So if you put in $100,000 in a CD or a high yield savings and you make 3.5%, $3,500, if you don't touch the $3,500, you still pay taxes that year. For that year, on the $3,500, it's included in your taxable income. You get a 1099. So there is no worry about basis or anything because the taxes have already been paid. So again, you just receive the money, and there shouldn't be any tax ramifications in that scenario because of what I was just outlining to you. So those are kind of it. The only other thing I guess I could touch on is annuities. So if it's an annuity that's part of an IRA, 100% taxable like any IRA, traditional IRA, that is, if it's not, then what you would pay taxes on as a non-spousal beneficiary is definitely the difference between how much was invested and how much it's worth, and that's taxable as ordinary income to you not capital gains, and capital gains being a lower type of tax bracket. So in the example of somebody funded $50,000 into an annuity, they pass, it's worth $100,000, the non-spousal beneficiaries would pay ordinary income tax on the $50,000 of gain. The $50,000 that was invested, a principal, would not be taxable to the recipient, just the gain. And so there are some options, depending upon the annuity company, if you could spread that tax liability out over time. And not all of them are the same. So you're going to want to meet with your advisor to make sure that you pick the right thing for your financial needs, income needs, lump sum needs, and how that corresponds with your taxes. And if your situation is a little bit more involved, then your financial advisor should definitely be consulting with your tax advisor to make sure that everybody's making the right decisions for you. That's what should be happening for sure. I work with, obviously, a lot of different tax professionals, and you know, we share clients, and so it will come up as far as investments and their need for a tax deduction or not, and then if they've inherited something, making sure that we're thinking things through. Somebody might have a tax year where they sold something and they have a bunch of money coming in, and so they may want to take as little as possible from something that causes more taxation, and or maybe they have a loss. And so they'll want to take a big amount out of something taxable because the loss could potentially offset the taxable gain that they're bringing it in. So all those things working together should be able to help you make a good decision in the end. And when you are the person with the investment and you're thinking through beneficiary designations, you're going to want to kind of think these things through for your loved ones or your business partner as well, to make sure that you're doing things, again, that would benefit your estate. Because I know you're dead when the time comes, but you'll feel better in life knowing that you did some tax planning and some things that, again, you know, keep IRS as much out of what you worked so hard for your whole life to grow and achieve as time went by. If you've got questions about how your investment portfolio is set up and how it should be how it should transition to your spouse or to your children or to a charity or your business partner, feel free to shoot me an email, brian@springbergwealthmanagement.com, or call the office, 928-855-9421. I guess put on your sunscreen? I mean, what on earth?
What?
90 what degrees?
92.
Good Lord.
Yeah, 92.
I don't mind it, just not now.
Through the weekend.
All right. Well, enjoy. Get out on the lake.
92, it said. 92, 92, 92. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Be there.
And then down to 81 by Tuesday.
Okay. It's so, just a little big low system or high system. Or
high, low.
I don't know.
Probably probably windy since March is coming up.
I don't know.
Maybe.
All right, everybody. Enjoy whatever you do. Stay safe out there, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week on Sound Advice and Speak Out. Thanks for listening.
Speaking of March, hang on.
Yes.
We've got an Earth Day warning coming, by the way. Later on in March, there's going to be a big Earth Day cleanup in Havasu.
Oh, cool.
Carrie Hemme, you know Carrie, right?
Of course.
Carrie's coming in this afternoon to tape an interview. Or do we tape anymore?
I don't know.
I don't call it
cloud. Cloud in interview?
I don't call it pre-record. It's like my pet peeve. Yeah. You're recording. You're not pre-recording. If I'm getting something ready to record, I'm pre-recording.
You just gave me a great idea, by the way. I'd never thought of it till right now.
What's that?
The next animal I get, the next dog I get, I'm going to name it Peeve.
Peeve? Yeah. Oh, I like that.
This is my pet peeve. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you.
It's going to storm. It's going to take over the nation now because I just said that.
Is that why you only do one show a week?
Well, yeah. It takes a lot of energy to come up with brilliance like that. You kidding me? I couldn't do that every day.
All right. Brian, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Again, 928-855-9421. And when Robin picks up the phone, say, "Hey, Frenchie, what's up?" She'll know where that came from. All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
We talked about it a little bit earlier, but this is the date that the 45, for the first time ever, outsold 78s. Now everything outsells 78s, right? Unless you're an antiques guy. So this is one of those 45s that's one of the greatest sellers of all time, Candle in the Wind by Elton John, of course. And there's a number of them on here. Ed Sheeran, Shape of You. Despacito featuring Daddy Yankee. In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry. Silent Night, Bing Crosby. I think that is the number one, if I remember right. All right. So we were talking about UNLV earlier, losing, dropping to 500. They're 14-14 on the year. They lost to Grand Canyon University, 80-67. 13-point win for GCU. There you go. On tomorrow's show, speaking of colleges, we've got Mojave College. James Jarman will be in, hoping he brings in our Dean of Students, but we shall find out. The Dean of Students in Havasu, that is. All right, Hannity's up next. That would be Karate Man. I'm not sure if Kung Fu Fighting's on that list or not, but we'll be back tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.